Well, people are commenting on things, and they say, "Shh, don't turn it on." So we're going to turn it on to the surprise of whoever tunes into this. But you're saying, Lori, that this reminds us what you just read of what first love.
Well, Sally and I had lunch together, and we were talking about that wonderful little article that just came out and was posted on Austin Sparks.
It's in the article section of AustinSparks.net.
Yeah.
First Love.
Called First Love. And it, in that article, Brother Sparks talks about that, I can't quote it, but that we would be filled with joy if we were occupied with what's going on in heaven right now, you would think of Jesus Christ and his exaltation. And so that would go along with this article, that if we were more occupied, if I was more occupied with what Jesus Christ has done. And in this paragraph, when he says, "So utterly has Christ entered into the work of Satan to destroy it." And we're hearing about the work of Satan all the time, aren't we? You know, by set, going to where the captives, you know, need to be set free, we're dealing with it all the time. But to realize that Christ has entered into the work of Satan to destroy it, if he had not utterly entered into it, he would not have utterly destroyed it. Mm-hmm. And we are there as the earthly man whose place has been taken by the Lord Jesus in that utter way. Now that is shouting ground. What do they call it? Stomping ground or shouting ground? I mean, you want to say hallelujah. You know, this whole chapter makes me want to just say hallelujah. And realize that, man, when I am down and I, you know, occupied with self, myself or someone else's self, you know, I'm just, my eyes are in the wrong place. And
I'm sure glad I don't have any self, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can be occupied with yourself, Doug. But anyway, no, the joy comes out of really realizing and really living in the occupation with that beautiful Savior.
It's amazing. Okay, here we go.
Lloyd kind of touched a little bit on what I was thinking of, because, like, growing up in a very outwardly in a very religious type of setting, you know, and not hearing about spiritual warfare, or, you know, you don't mention the works of Satan, you know. I mean, we're saved. We have victory, you know. I mean, that was the framework of what I grew up with. I didn't know about spiritual warfare till I was almost 50, and it sounded like really far out. So then, as I began to see what I had been born into in my whole history in the DID SRA, I really struggled. Like, a message like this would have just devastated me, because it's like, I mean, I feel like this is where I'm at, and this is where I'm living all the time. You know, I don't know how to be anyplace else. So then, if I hear a message like this, it's like, okay, I can't do the DID work then, because is that not what we're doing? And the whole DID work, we're going right back to these old places and all this darkness and death and all this sexual stuff. I mean, it was just so defiling, and so it was so, like, inside of me, so conflicting, because I want God to have all of me, and yet to get there I have to go into what he's talking about here. It feels like the death side of it. You really do have to. And so I remember just having to give myself permission that to do the work, that's different. I have to do the work so that's not where I remain, so I can come out of that darkness, out of that death into life. And now I feel like I'm more on this side, and periodically I have to take a little dip back this way yet, you know, and pick up something that's been left there. But it feels very contaminating when I have to do it. It's like, well, maybe I just need to pray a little more, you know. I'm going to just sing some songs. I mean, I do, and sometimes it's all I need. And then other times I have to allow myself to look at something that's left behind here from my past life that's still stuck in a very dark, dark place. So maybe I'm saying this for some DIDSRA person that needs to hear that. Yeah. It's not an either or, because I've been the queen of either. You know, it's like the double bind stuff. So anyway, I can say that I can listen to it tonight, and I feel convicted, but I don't feel condemned like I would have in the past. So I praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, and I think people will like use the verse, well, it's forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on for the things that are ahead. Well, when Paul says forgetting the things that are behind in Philippians 3, he's not talking about forgetting what you haven't remembered. He's not talking about forgetting what is dissociated, trapped in death in the past, that is truly dissociated and trauma. He's not talking about that. When he says forgetting things that are behind, he's talking about his attainments and his status as a Hebrew, his status as a Pharisee. It is a religious and racial superiority to all of his contemporaries. That's what he's forgetting and leaving behind. And who he was as a Pharisee, and who he was as a of the proud tribe of Benjamin, you see? That's what you forget. And also all attainments that we have made as a Christian, he forgets that and presses on that he might gain Christ and the excellency of knowledge of knowing Christ. So when people use that passage to dismiss what you're talking about, it's really important that you did bring that up. He said, if you go in denial by using this religious justification you just said, you are a Pharisee. That makes you a Pharisee. You see? Because a person who loves the truth is going to reclaim that which is trapped in death. And when you reclaim that's trapped in death, that is truly humility. And then when that is released and come to the present, then you can forget what lies behind. But if it's still behind and isn't forward, you can't forget it, because they won't let you forget it. You're going to be living with all kinds of triggers and symptoms and until you deal with it. So you have to deal with that which is trapped and dissociated in spiritual death. Yes. So that's good. It's good you brought that up. Anyone else?
Well, I wonder if a difference between that and what Sparks is saying is a difference between like repenting and bemoaning, basically. So it's like there is that where, like, if I commit some sin, there is that where there does need to be a coming back to the Lord and a repentance for it, versus being like, oh, woe is me, I'm always this way, I'm such a whatever, whatever, whatever. Kind of just mourning the fact that, mourning the old man, as it were, or bemoaning it and woe is me kind of deal, and that, as you said, expecting myself to be different than that, versus doing the DID work really is an act of repentance. Because it's that which is trapped in the past. It's coming, allowing the Lord into it. It's confessing, Lord, this is who I am. But I thank you for the work that you have done that allows, yes, me to be here, and that has already forgiven me. Yeah. And it's stepping into the reality of it. And so I think that is actually the difference between what Sparks is saying tonight and actually doing the DID work.
Yeah. In fact, you can't step into what Mr. Sparks is saying tonight, if to the degree you haven't done the DID work.
Right, because if you don't even know what you've been forgiven for, how can you rejoice?
Yeah, how can you walk in? Yeah. So, I mean, you need the humanity here, and I was thinking about, you know, when you talk about repentance, only Christians repent of sins. The unbeliever can only repents of one sin, because they believe not on me, and that's John 16. But whenever we sin as Christians, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, whenever we grieve the Holy Spirit, if we're a carnal, we might feel a little bit miserable. But the more we go on with the Lord, if we grieve the Holy Spirit, we sense that grief far more acutely than we did when we were baby Christians. And so, grieve not the Holy Spirit, to which we've been sealed unto redemption, you know, Ephesians chapter 4. But then there's the other side in 1 Thessalonians 5, and that's quenching the Holy Spirit. So that's more subtle. Grieving the Holy Spirit, that should be more obvious. That's sin. But when it comes, when it says quench not the Holy Spirit, that is when the natural man now begins to superimpose his natural mind into that which involves spiritual discernment and a spiritual mindset. So it's the natural man that quenches the spiritual man. And that's what we see at Corinth. It was the natural man that was quenching the spirit. And that through self-righteousness, anything that has to do with the works of the flesh always quenches the spirit. So it involves, you know, spiritual growth. So anything else? All right. Well, Father, thank you again for your word. We bless you for our Lord Jesus and for all that he is. May we truly be those that continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name.